This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
Bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, get your King James Bibles and let's hear God's message of truth. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, where we left off last time. Psalm 147. Now we're into the last five Psalms of this great book. We've been studying this for about a year and a half, a deep in-depth of this majestic work. These last five Psalms are called the Hallel Songs, which in the Hebrew is Hallelujah. When you say Hallelujah, you are speaking Hebrew, and it means praise the Lord. Now we have learned that the entire book of Psalms is divided into the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And these last five chapters are also to give a second witness called Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Last time we studied 146, and that was Genesis, which referred to man. Today we'll study 147, which refers to the nation, the people of Israel. But you've got to understand who they are. There are 12 tribes of Israel. Most preachers lump them all up into one and call them Judah. There are 12 tribes, all of Israel. Two of them now reside in the land of Israel and are called the house of Judah. The 10 of them, called the house of Israel, were captured, the Bible says, by Sennacherib the Assyrian, migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, came into the British Isles, migrated over the Atlantic Ocean, settled Canada, and these United States of America. The larger bulk of the house of Israel would be the United States of America. So this is addressed to the house of Israel, the Christians who do not know who they are, who are the house of Israel in the United States of America.
Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely.
Comely means suitable. So as a missionary to America, America, government, police, schools, everybody, churches, it is very suitable to praise the Lord, especially since we're in such trouble, America.
Yes. Verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel.
Now in Ezekiel 16, God spread his skirt over Jerusalem. That was a term that means he fell in love with Jerusalem. He married her. And he said, this will be my eternal resting place. I'm going to live here forever and ever. So at the end of the millennium, when all sin is gone, Revelation 21 says God the Father is now building the heavenly Jerusalem. No wonder Jesus is called a carpenter. And he's going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down and live with us forever and ever and ever. But who are these outcasts? He's going to gather them. That would be the 10 dispersed tribes, the house of Israel. See, the people say the 10 tribes are lost. They're not lost to anybody who knows God's word. It's God's word that has been lost. I know who we are. We are the United States of America, not everyone in here, but those 10 tribes migrated here. Ezekiel tells us that all of the 10 tribes and all of the 12 tribes are going to gather back together and in the eternity live right there in Jerusalem with everything refurbished and replenished and everything perfect again with our Father. The two sticks, Ezekiel 37, house of Judah and the house of Israel shall be reunited.
Yes. 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds.
Now, you might say this verse seems out of place. He's talking to the nation of Israel and the 10 lost tribes, as people like to say. They're not lost to us. What he's saying is that when a family is divided, the heart is broken. So see, right now, there is a laceration. The wound there means a grief. There is a grief because the house of Judah and the house of Israel are not together. Not too long ago, the house of Judah, Benjamin Netanyahu, came and addressed the house of Israel. But very few people in the house of Israel knew that. But I knew then that I wanted to go and hug his neck and say, "Hello, my brother. We're going to get back together again."
Yes.
4, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names.
Now, in the book of Job, chapter 38, when God finally showed up to Job to show him what was happening, by the way, don't ever, ever think that those things that Job's friends said should be taught in church. Those were lies. God put them in there so you'd know the difference. Job's racket jaws friends were lying to him. So God showed up and said, "Job, do you remember when the stars of God sang together and danced together?" The word stars there in Hebrew is children of God minus the flesh. God was talking about the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was when Satan rebelled. And we were all there in a spiritual body. Ecclesiastes 12:6-7 says, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. We were there, and we sang and we danced. So he says, those same children of God are going to be reunited with God in the Jerusalem, heaven on earth. And don't forget that God promised to Abraham. He said, your seed, your generation, your descendants shall be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. Here we are, America, and you do not even know who you are. You have thrown Jesus and the Bible away from this country. Come back to Jesus. Come back to the Word and know your heritage, America.
Hallelujah.
5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite.
Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear means love. We get wisdom from God's word. The rest of that verse says, but fools despise instruction. Since you get wisdom from God's word, if you despise God's word, God calls you a fool. Now he said it, you take it up with him.
6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground.
The meek there means humble and teachable. When God the Father brings the heavenly Jerusalem down and all sin is gone, and even when Jesus comes at the seventh trump, we're told there's going to be 1,000 years reign of peace. The devil will be locked in an abyss, and there's a dot. We'll all be in our spiritual body. God's elect, who know every word of God, will be teaching during that time. That would be the meek. We would be lifted up. Only the teachable are going to be able to teach. Revelation 20 says we're being trained to reign. Reign means to teach. So anybody now in the body of Christ who is not willing to be teachable, to learn of the three earth and heaven ages, of the seduction in the garden, of the fallen angels, of the order, of the trumps, of the seals, and the vials, of the Mamzahs and the Kenites, all this in God's word, you won't be allowed to teach. However, we offer it here. Come and dine. It's free.
Yes.
Now, one other thing he said, but the others shall be abased. Jesus says that the righteous, those that are the meek, the proud shall be abased, but the humble shall be exalted. See, in this 1,000 years reign, only the elect are going to go around Jesus. See, you listen to the radio and television, you think every Christian in the world, no, most of them are going to worship the devil thinking he's Jesus. So only the elect can go around him. So, but that was because we'd be teachable, so we won't be deceived. You understand? And so because we'd be teachable, we'll be exalted there because we get to be around Jesus and teach for 1,000 years in our spiritual body. What a great honor.
Sing praises unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp unto our God. 8, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth,
in Deuteronomy chapter 11, God loves the earth so much and knows how to operate it. He gives the former rain. It softens and loosens the soil so you can put a seed in the soil and the little seed germinates. And then you need the latter rain so that little embryo can plop up through the ground and grow into a fruit-bearing tree. Once upon a time, you were lost and God sent someone your way with an anointing and told you of Jesus and told you of the Word. And the Holy Spirit made your heart pliable, and that seed of Jesus Christ and salvation was planted into you. But now you see, dear Christians, you need the former rain. You need every word of God so that you'll pop up here and be a fruit-bearing tree. Hallelujah.
Make it grass to grow upon the mountains. 9, he giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry.
A young raven is very many times left alone, and sometimes a little raven will wander away by itself, but it cries, "Help me," and God provides. He takes care of the birds, Jesus says. You are a more valuable Christian than many sparrows.
10, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man.
This is a figure of speech. In Bible times, when they went to war, they had to have war horses, and the rider then would know when to go and fight, but when he saw he was going to be defeated, he would jump off the horse, and with his legs, he would flee. But God says, do not put your judgment, your trust in the government or the military or princes. Put your trust in God. So I say, America, we have power over ISIS. His name is Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, we have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. I says, let the devil chop your head off. We're going to live and not die and declare the word of God.
The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him.
That's what makes him happy. Fear means love. Hosea 6:6, God says, I don't really want your burnt offerings. I want your mercy. Take it back to the manuscripts. I want your love. Did you tell him you loved him today? Did you say it like a parrot? Or did you cry and fall on your face and sob with a great love beating from your heart? Does your heart beat with passionate love for this great lover of your soul? He wants your love. This is a love story.
In them that hope in his mercy.
Christ in me, my hope of glory. Christ changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now that's hope you can believe in.
12. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise the God, O Zion. 13. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee.
It was a time that America never had to worry about our borders, because it was the promise of God that he would be our wall. He told us in Ezekiel, I am your wall about you. But he said in Isaiah 5, if you go to another God, if you throw Jesus and the Bible out of your land, house of Israel, 10 tribes of America, then I will loosen your walls and the enemy shall come in. It has happened. But America, it's still time to do 2 Chronicles 7:14. God's people could still repent and humble and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Then God would hear from heaven, forgive our sins and heal our land and put the walls back up.
14. He maketh peace within thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of wheat.
Remember, this is Exodus, and is addressed to the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes separated from the house of Judah here in America. America exports more fine wheat than almost any other nation. Let's take it to level 3. Wheat is bread. Up until a few years ago, America fed the world with Jesus and the Bible, the bread of heaven. But now the walls have come down, and the foxes in the hen house, and the enemy has taken over. And so God has to send a little missionary like this speaker to bring back the bread of heaven back to America. Oh, America, turn back to Jesus. Turn back to the Bible. He will still save us again.
15, he sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly.
God gave them to Moses the law, and he gave the prophets the Torah, in other words, the Bible and the prophets. And he says it runs swiftly on the earth. God says, I'm going to give you such technology that right now, as my little servant Sherry speaks the word of God, one flip of a button can take this word to the whole wide world. God did that. God is the author of our modern technology.
16, he giveth the snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes.
The hoarfrost means the hail. Have you ever thought about how many snowflakes it takes to make just 1 foot of snow? How about how many snowflakes to make miles and miles of snow? Yet the Bible tells us and scientists tell us that not one snowflake is like another. Very unique, just like you. Did you know there's nobody like you? I'm glad there's nobody else like me. The world is saved.
17, he casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold?
This means when he rains that cold sleet down, by the time it gets to the ground, it's so icy. If you walk on it, you will fall down. You cannot stand on it. And I also want to say, don't try to drive on it. Been there, did that. Woo.
18, he sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his winds to blow and the waters flow.
But you see, then it comes spring and God says, okay, melt the snow so the flowers can grow.
19, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel.
The law, judgment, statutes, ordinances, the Bible, came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the living word, Jesus, came through that lineage. And so we have the word of God, Jesus, the living word, and the word of God in our Bible. What a precious heritage. We have that, house of Israel, 10 tribes in America, and our brother Judah, 2 tribes in the land of Israel.
20, he hath not dealt so with any nation.
He did not give this to the Gentile nations yet.
As for his judgments, they have not known them.
They were not given to them, but then God said, whosoever will may come.
Praise the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. Hebrew, hallelujah.
Psalm 148, verse 1.
And now we come to the Numbers book, one of these last hallelujah songs. Now this will address, this is Leviticus. This is Leviticus and it means the sanctuary. Right now the psalmist is talking about the Ark of the Covenant, which contained God's presence, and David would put it in the temple. But in the eternity, it says we do not need a temple, for Jesus is the temple. But right now, you, Christian, are the temple of the living God, and Jesus lives in you, so you're a sanctuary. This is the Leviticus section, sanctuary.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Now, for the first few verses, God is saying that everything that is in heaven, praise the Lord. We're going to find some interesting people who are in heaven right now.
Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts.
Angels, sons of God, children of God, all of our loved ones who've gone back and are saved with God, you praise the Lord. The host of heaven will be the armies in heaven. When Jesus comes at the 7th trump, after the 6th trump, which is the Antichrist, he's going to bring back a great army with him. They'll be right there with him to help him fight the battle of Haman, Gog, and Armageddon. Many of these are our loved ones and people we know. They are now getting ready. They're practicing with their weapons, and they are praising the Lord. This is going on upstairs. Say we're in the same house. They're just upstairs, we're downstairs.
Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light.
Daniel says, he that is wise shall shine as the stars of light forever. In other words, all the Christians who were saved, who've gone back to heaven, your loved ones, my loved ones, many people we love, the one who wrote this psalm, David and Hezekiah and all of these great people, they are there in their spiritual bodies praising the Lord. That's actually going on right now.
For praise him, ye heavens of heavens.
Now, this refers to the third heaven age. Remember that 2 Peter 3:6 speaks of the world that then was. World in the Greek is eon, age. The world that now is, this second earth age, this one time in the flesh to choose Jesus or the devil. But at the end of the millennium begins the third heaven and earth age, and God will change it, clean up everything, and paradise restored right here. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in Acts 14 that Paul was stoned. In the Greek, it means he actually died. And it was taken up into the third heaven, and it means age, okay? You'll have to know the manuscripts. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says, very humbly, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a man was taken up to the third heaven and heard unspeakable things, which is illegal for me to say. But what Paul saw, that all of those are praising the Lord, and many of us are going to be in that third heaven and earth age. I pray it be you.
And ye watchers that be above the heavens.
Ye watchers and you holy ones, you guardian angels, the seven spirits that sit before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Blessings, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. Praise the Lord, all of you watchers and angels, guardian angels. Praise the Lord.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
His name is Yahweh, the sacred name of God. I am that I am, the being, Yahweh, almighty God, the word of God. Praise your name, Lord.
He commanded, and they were created. 6. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass.
When God created the planets, you know he has moons and stars for each planet. He gave them an assignment, and he said, you can only go so far. You rotate in your orbit. He directs the gravitational pull, and he says, you don't go beyond that. He tells the tide, you can come in, you can prance, you can win all the people on the beach, you can dance and prance, but after a certain point, turn around, tide, and go out. So the tide comes in, but the tide goes out.
7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all the deep.
Now, these verses say that everything is in the earth, praise the Lord. Now, we know that dragon is a mistranslation because Revelation 12 tells us the dragon is the name of the devil. And so it means sea creature in the ocean, those beautiful whales and everything. Praise the Lord.
8. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
All of the elements, praise the Lord. When Jesus comes back with that army in heaven and fights the battle of Haman Gog, when Russia comes against America, that's Esau, who is Edom, who is Russia, comes against Jacob, the 10 tribes in America to regain Alaska. Yep, that's in the Bible. Boy, he's going to use hailstones the size of a talent. Zap. Quick battle. Also, he will fight the Armageddon battle. God's all nature obeys him.
9. Mountains and all hills, fruited trees and all cedar.
Mountains means nations. So all the nations of the world, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Egypt, United States of America, praise the Lord. Hills means governments. The government of the United States of America, praise the Lord. The fruited trees, you Christians who bear fruit, those of you who, of course, went out and witnessed to your 5 people this week and won them to Jesus and invited them to come to church this week, you bear fruit. You praise the Lord. Cedars of Lebanon, God's elect, chosen from before the foundation of the earth, you praise the Lord. Everything, praise the Lord.
Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl.
Birds, praise the Lord.
And kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth.
You 9 black-robed judges who just broke the Constitution and discarded it. The Constitution came from the common law of England, which came from the Bible. You 9 black robe judges who just broke the Bible and called good evil and evil good. You shall stand before the great white throne judgment of God. God is the final judge, and everybody gets what they deserve.
Well, both young men and maidens, old men and children, 13, let them praise the name of the Lord.
Many people think that to love Jesus and to live the Christian life is for old people who are about ready to die. No, no, no. The greatest gift I ever had was a tiny little blonde-haired, blue-eyed toddler, 3 and 2 and 4. With my Aunt Zelma and Uncle Walker, I stayed with them as much as possible. Jesus lived in their house. The Bible was the guide. It was so joyous. It was heaven on earth. It's been my mainstay, Jesus and the Bible, all of my life. Oh, you parents, let your children know the joy that you have. Don't sit there and act like the rest of the world. Let your child see that Jesus makes a difference, that he's alive in you. Bring up your children to know Jesus and the Bible very early on.
Name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. 14, he also exalted the horn of his people.
The horn means the power. Until the last few years, the 10 tribes of Israel, making up the United States of America, was called the superpower of superpowers. God gave us this gift, this blessing, because Jesus was our Lord and the Bible was our book. We were founded. The first schools in this country were churches to teach our children to read the Bible. It's not too late, America. Every Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., you better get over here and fall on your face and let us pray 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is your country. Yes. You're about to fall into the alligator's mouth, and you're already over the cliff, and you don't know it.
The praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, people near unto him.
Near unto him is where we get the word sanctuary, which is what Leviticus means. Now remember that Jesus is our sanctuary, and he is closer to you and near to you as hands are breathing.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah in Hebrew.
Psalm 149, verse 1.
Now, this would be the Numbers book, and this is addressed to nations other than the 12 tribes of Israel. Gentiles, remember, whosoever will may come.
Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king.
It is a sin for you to have a long face, Christian. I know you have problems. Guess what? So do I. But I read the end of the book. If we endure to the end and overcome the soon coming Antichrist, we win. And eternal life is ours. I want you to stop. I want you to suck up and put some joy on your face and let the world know we got a happy living Savior. You're an ambassador. You're just not doing good by representing. How would you like for somebody to represent you and misrepresent you? Jesus is joy.
Verse 3, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise unto him with a timbrel and harp.
Tambourine.
4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation.
When Satan rebelled in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, Isaiah 14, God realized that sin had been brought into the equation. So it was right then, before we're in a flesh body, that Jesus said, okay, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. With Satan's catapult, the foundation means when Satan overthrew in the first earth age, I'll pay the sin price. I'll also take a body and pay the sin price. So he gives salvation. So he says to you now, take off your filthy, sinful garments, dirty as a minstrel cloth. Put on the pure robe of righteousness, and you will be so beautiful. It's like I put a strand of pearls on a beautiful woman with a sharp black dress.
5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds.
In the Apocrypha, which was in the original Bible, the Catholics left it in, the Protestants took it out. It's between Malachi and Matthew. And it gives an analogy of those who are saved when they go back to God. And it says they're so happy to know that finally everything is going to be so beautiful that they rest in their beds. It does not mean they soul sleep or go to sleep. It's a figure of speech, meaning they have peace because all is well. But you don't have to wait until then. If you will keep your mind on the Lord, he'll keep you at perfect peace even now. He is the Prince of Peace, Jesus.
6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand.
All right. Now, Christian, here's how you fight. The Antichrist is about to come, but right now we're surrounded by demonic forces. Demonic forces have taken over America. First of all, no matter what you're going through, praise the Lord. That doesn't mean to say like a robot, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That means let your life be a praise. Everything you do be a praise. Thank him, love him. But you take the two-edged sword in your hand. It is the word of God. Man lives by every word of God. Revelation 1:16, Jesus, that two-edged sword. Hebrews says the word of God is more powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And what you do, Christian, most of you cower and say, oh, please don't hurt me, Mr. Devil. Please don't hurt me. Somebody pray for me. Somebody help me. What you do, children, Jesus said, I give you power of all the power of the enemy over devils, serpents and scorpions, devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do what Jesus did when he fasted. Say, it is written, and then say in Jesus' name, and then draw your sword. Say the word of God. Now, Christian, here's what you do. You don't flee like that man off the horse. Charge. Go where your enemy is. Is it sickness in the name and the power of Jesus Christ? In Jesus' name, I command you to be well, body. Is it this? Whatever. Charge, charge, charge. Don't run from it. Go to it. Run right into your problem in the name of Jesus with a sword. See, we have let him make us cowards. America, we've got the technology, body of Christ. Forget your denominations. Forget your pride, men. Some of us ladies love God too. Let's all get together and let's unite and let's all tell ISIS where to go. Because Amen. Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. In the name and the power of ISIS, you have no power over the Christians in America. We are the blood-bought children of God. And it is written, ISIS, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment is condemned. And ISIS, we shall not die but live and declare the works of God. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.
7. To execute vengeance upon the heathen.
Yep, they're the heathen.
And punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains. And then nobles with fetters of iron.
Look what they're doing to our people. They're taking Christians and putting them in cages, burning them alive, putting them in cages, Christians, and drowning them alive and cutting their heads off. No! Run toward them, Christian, in the name of Jesus. Don't run. Oh, that we had a government that knew this. Oh, that we had a president who knew the Jesus and the Bible and knew how to fight. We could just win this in one day's time. Greater is he who's in us than he's in the world. Come on, body of Christ. Come on over here with me. Let's get it done. We can beat them up. We win.
Wow. 9. To execute upon them the judgment written.
As it is written, so shall it be. Again, Jesus said, Luke 10:19, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions. That means devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If anything was ever a devil or demon, it's ISIS. We have the power, but we must use the name of Jesus. We must use the sword. We must use the weapon, and we must charge.
Honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. reward.
And this is an honor given to you. Even if you seem to be the most feeble, insignificant Christian, this is an honor. You wear the badge and you have never arrested the enemy. You've been running around all the time with the authority and you let him put you in prison. And you could have arrested the enemy and put him in prison.
Psalm 150, verse 1.
Now we come to the last chapter of Psalms. This is what is called the Deuteronomy. These are the words. These are the words of God.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Verse 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. 3. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with a psaltery and harp. 4. Praise him with a timbrel and a dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. 5. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, what a privileged people you have allowed us to be. A year and a half ago on this radio station, dear God, to begin with Psalm 1. Every chapter, every verse, every line, your magnificent work, what a blessing we have. We thank you, Father, that all of these words that you have wrote, this exquisite work of art, be not in vain, but accomplish that whereunto it is sent. We praise you, we love you, in the name of Jesus. And so we complete this magnificent masterpiece. We learned that the book of Psalms is divided up into 5 books, the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And we learned in Psalm 1 that if you will meditate in the Word of God, that you'll be so rooted, you'll be like a tree. Nobody can pull you up. You might bend over, but you won't break. And you'll be successful, not what the world calls successful. But do you understand when you are in God's will, you are successful? And then we had Psalm 2, and it was a prophecy of right now. God says to the Son on the throne, look there. Why do the nations rage? Why do the heathens imagine a vain thing? Why do they say empty words and change my constitution? God says to the Father, the Father says to the Son on the throne in Psalm 2, we're going to have them in derision. We're just going to laugh at them. And then there's the beautiful Psalm 22, my favorite chapter in all of God's Word to teach. The Passover Lamb, Jesus teaching from the cross. Psalm 22, written 1,000 years before Jesus was written on the cross. If you ever need to prove the Bible is true, that'll do it. God gave that prophecy to David. And there he is, the Passover Lamb, calling forth the crucifixion, directing it himself. And then we have Psalm 23, the resurrection psalm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because the Lord is our shepherd. And so then we have beautiful acrostic psalms, Psalm 37. An acrostic, we learned, is something God put in this Bible. It's very hidden for the elect to search it out. There were 9 acrostic psalms in this whole book. 37, this secret there was. It looks like the wicked get away with it. Just this week, we saw the Supreme Court vote against the Bible. 2 things that would devastate our land and turn it over to the devil. And yet, Psalm 37, the secret message says, yet the wicked shall walk into the lake of fire, into the smoke that shall consume away, into the smoke that shall consume away. Hallelujah. And then we have the 91st Psalm. Oh, the Lord is my strength. He is my shield. I run into his name. He is my fortress, the wonderful protective psalm. And then there is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name, who heals all your diseases, who forgives all your iniquities. Psalm 107. He sent his word and healed them. Jesus is the living word. Hallelujah. And then there's the Psalm 119, 176 verses, divided up into 22 sections with the heading of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Every line in Psalm 119 has at least one of 10 special words except one line. Put all the 10 words together and they all spell Jesus, the living word. Psalm 119 told us to incorporate the word of God in our thinking, in our social activities, in our health, in our work, in every part of our life. And then we have the beautiful Song of Degrees compiled by Hezekiah, a few by David and one by Solomon. And what they said there, David and Hezekiah were always in great danger because when you're on the front line in battle, the devil is always trying to kill you. And so they would be in great distress. And they would trust in God's word. They would read the word. They would believe it. And God would deliver them. It's like your life. You're in distress. You trust in the Lord and he delivers you. And then there were two more chapters there that said there will be the time in eternity when there'll be no more distress. It'll just be blessing, blessing, blessing. And then there was Psalm 140, verse 2. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my deliverer. He is my God. In him will I trust. And then the Hallel Psalms, the last five. Praise ye the Lord. Let your life be a praise from this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, this week we're not going to have mystery moment or miracle moment. We'll resume that next week. So those of you listening, keep calling in your questions for mystery moment and your miracles. I actually have one to share with you, but I'll save it for next time. Because next week we're going to begin the great book of Revelation, the great book of Revelation. Now, all of you listening on radio, cyberspace, I want you to tell people to listen to this Revelation. Those of you who are live, tell everybody you know. We are living Revelation right now. If you know Revelation, you won't be deceived. It's actually happening right now. And we're going to learn who Mystery Babylon is. We're going to learn who the man of sin is, the son of perdition. We're going to learn who the Antichrist is. We're going to learn what 666 means. We're going to learn the two beasts of Revelation 13. We're going to learn about the four horses of the apocalypse and the two horses, and one is fake and one is real. We're going to learn that there are only two type churches here at the end that please Jesus, and you're going to find out what it is these two churches teach. I'll give you a little preview. We do it right. You think I'm a fool? I read the book. Of course I do it. And we're going to even go back. John is going to take us, Jesus is through John, back into the first earth age when Satan rebelled and deceived one third of God's children minus the flesh. We're going to go out into the millennium time when Jesus comes, and we're going to go out in the future. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Tell everybody you meet. If everybody in the world can hear Revelation now, it begins next Sunday here at my school, 5 p.m. If you will know this, you will not be deceived. And it is a command that every Christian know every word of Revelation. You've probably been told you didn't need to know it. See, that was the devil. He says, read this in the churches. And he also says that there is a tremendous blessing. Every time someone hears even a word of Revelation, God will bless you. So great things to come. Now, for those of you who are sick, let me pray for you. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask even now the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I ask for miracles, signs, and wonders. Any part of anybody's body not working, I ask you to touch it. Touch kidneys, left kidney, right kidney, bladders, colon, hearts, lungs, legs, bones. Disease, cancer, be gone in Jesus' name. Repair. Let new body parts grow back. Let miracles, signs, and wonders. Let dead people come back alive. Let Christians awaken, dear God. Heal broken hearts. Let Jesus Christ be Lord. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Now, there's no greater miracle than salvation. If you are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please forgive me of them all.
Please forgive me of them all.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that the Holy Spirit
will dwell in me
and lead me.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me with your word.
Use me
to enlarge your territory.
Sanctify me.
Get all the green off.
Make me pure silver
for your glory.
Thank you.
And I love you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, my announcer is about to give you my telephone number, so feel free to call. We'll resume Mystery Moment and Miracle Moment. Maybe you'll be the miracle person of the week. Call and tell me your miracle. Call and ask me your question. Call for your prayer request. Those of you who are calling, I'm getting your calls, and I'm praying for you diligently. Most important of all, you all need revelation. This will probably be your last chance before the Antichrist comes to get this book. It is a command to know it. And if you know it, you don't come and get this and miss. Make a commitment. Nothing else matters. When, Christian, will you know to put God first and the rest takes care of itself? You need this now so you be not deceived. And it's just a command that you know it. And of course, you're going to be blessed. So be sure to hear that and to stay in God's word. Now, remember this when you think of Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." I love you. God bless you. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
To know you is to never worry for my life. And to know you is to never give in or compromise. And to know you is to want to tell the world about you. 'Cause I can't live without you. My brother when he's falling. To know you is to feel the pain of the broken hearted. 'Cause they can't live without you. More than my next breath, more than life or death, all I'm reaching for, I live my sound.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
None beside thee, God Almighty.
worship. You are worthy of my praise. Before you, in the presence of your holiness, and I lift up my voice to my God of all wonders, and I lift up my soul and surrender to you in praise. You are worthy of my worship. Everlasting, you are righteous and wonderful, faithful and true. You are the light of the world that brought me out of darkness. You are my Savior, my God, reason to worship you. You are worthy of my worship. Shit.